Health ministers from the world's G7 countries will meet virtually today to discuss the new variant of the coronavirus discovered in South Africa earlier this month. It's not yet known if the Omicron variant is resistant to the vaccine or if it causes severe disease. It has been found in a number of European countries along with others, and travel restrictions have been imposed on up to 10 countries in the Southern Africa region. And within the past hour, the Scottish government has announced 6 cases of the new variant have been confirmed there. Well, let's hear the inside story now of how the variant was discovered in the first place. Dr. Alison Glass is head of the Molecular Pathology Department at Lancet Laboratories in Johannesburg, where it was first detected. Dr. Glass, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
And you're very welcome to the programme. Why did you start examining the virus in more detail?
So the particular PCR assay that we use looks for 3 different genes of the virus. And what we'd seen previously in the year with alpha variant was that the S gene component of the test didn't come up positive with alpha variant. And we hadn't seen that phenomenon for quite a while because Delta has been our prevalent strain. And what one of our junior scientists noted towards the beginning of November was that we were starting to see this again where samples were coming up positive, but the S gene wasn't being detected by our test. So sort of what we had seen with the alpha variant. And so this raised some questions as to, was this just alpha surging or were we seeing something new? So we monitored it for a few days, and as we saw this phenomenon increasing and our positivity rate starting to go up, we liaised with our National Institute of Communicable Diseases and also decided to sequence some of the samples, and upon sequencing discovered that this was a new variant that hadn't yet been described.
So as well as it missing the S gene, you noticed there was a substantial rise, wasn't there, in the positivity rate?
Yes, it has been quite a substantial rise over the period of 2 to 3 weeks. South Africa had been in a very low prevalence period for the last few months, where we were seeing our lowest positivity rate of the pandemic. But just in the last sort of 2 to 3 weeks, we have seen quite a rapid increase in the positivity rate.
And your expert opinion then, Dr. Glass, at this point on whether this new variant causes severe illness?
So from what we've seen so far is that the cases that we've been in discussion with the doctors who refer their patients to us, is that the symptoms we're seeing are mild currently, so very similar to what we've seen with other mild cases of COVID-19 from other variants. We are starting to see some hospitalizations, but I think that's a factor of just the number of cases that we're seeing. But as yet, there's no evidence to suggest that this variant causes more severe disease than previous variants.
And what about its interaction then with the vaccine? Are you able to decide much on that front at this point?
It is a little bit early. We have noted infections in people who have been previously vaccinated. But once again, they tend to be reporting either no symptoms or mild symptoms. So we're still feeling optimistic that, as we see more cases coming through, that the vaccine will continue to provide protection against disease and especially severe disease.
Are studies taking place in the lab to measure how it reacts to antibodies?
Yes, absolutely. So our National Institute of Communicable Diseases is doing additional investigations on the new variant to see if pre-existing immunity does provide protection. And we'll continue to monitor our data as well to see how this evolves.
What goes through your mind, Dr. Glass? What went through your mind when you realised it was yet another variation, another variant of the coronavirus?
Well, I have to admit, probably the first thing went through my mind was, oh, there goes the quiet December that we were hoping for. I think we're going to have a pretty busy December again, like similar to what we had last year with our second wave. It always does raise concerns about whether the virus has found ways to evade our immunity and evade vaccine-induced immunity. So I guess we are watching to see what happens happens there. But we also do know that the virus is going to continue to change. I mean, I'm a virologist, so, you know, this is something that viruses do. It's in their nature to continue to evolve. So it's not unexpected, but it you know, we do prefer the quiet times where there's not lots of virus circulating. So I think we're just preparing ourselves for a busy month ahead.
Should the rest of the world be worried?
So I think, you know, that should, it's good for the rest of the world to be aware of what the different countries are seeing, because we know that these variants do travel very rapidly globally. We've seen that with previous variants that have been identified. And I think knowledge is important so that people can make decisions around increasing hospital capacity and so on if we expect to see a rise in cases. But I think it's all still very early days, and until we have evidence that this causes more severe disease, you know, I think we shouldn't jump to any conclusions that this is going to be any worse than anything that's come before. And I think that, you know, as we progress through the pandemic and as time passes, the background immunity that does build up from natural infection and from vaccination is bound to still provide protection, even if not complete, but to provide protection against new variants as they emerge. So the variation is really the virus's way of making sure it sticks around. But with most viruses that adapt to a new to their human host, we find that they do find ways to coexist better, as we see with our other respiratory viruses. So you know, I don't think it should cause panic at this stage. I think we need to see what the data shows, and I think we just need to work together to determine if this is something that can be a problem or is just a variation of what we've already been dealing with.
So what do you think then of the rest of the world's, much of the rest of the world's reaction to this in terms of the travel restrictions that have been imposed on your country and other countries in Southern Africa in response?
Yeah, well, I think it's disappointing, and we certainly know just of a lot of local disappointment of travel plans that have been had to be cancelled. And I think the reality is, you know, is we often then get questions, well, you know, why did you release this information if it's only going to have a negative impact on South Africa? And I mean, this information is important to release because it guides decision making about possible surges in cases and hospitals needing to ready themselves for a possible increase in the number of cases that we're seeing. So we do need to disclose that information, and we intend to continue to disclose information, but it does you know, make the scientific community feel, you know, a little bit reluctant to be transparent, you know, when there is a sort of backlash. And I think it also would be naive of the rest of the world to think that that new variants only emerge in countries that are looking for them. So there's many, many countries that don't do adequate genomic surveillance. And, you know, that we would be silly to think that there are no new variants developing there. So just because a country isn't aware of its new of a new variant emerging, you know, then there's no repercussions for them. So I think it is disappointing that that there has been this almost feeling of that we're being punished for being on top of what's happening, rather than a more collaborative effort to see how we can manage the situation going forward.
Very good to talk to you this morning, and thank you for joining us, Dr. Alison Glass, Head of the Molecular Pathology Department at Lancet Laboratories in Johannesburg.